My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Gaming in the Wild, a video games podcast about games from the artistic, creative side of the tracks, from indie to AAA. My name's John, I'm your host. I'm a journalist based out in Reykjavik, Iceland, but that's not where I'm speaking to you from today. This week, after I finally got my dual COVID vaccinations and things started to open up a little bit, I'm back in the UK for the first time since I started this podcast 1.5 years ago. To visit some family and take a little break from downtown Reykjavik. So I flew from Keflavik a couple of days ago and landed in green and pleasant England for a little bit of family time. And it's a really nice break. It's a really good trip. Much needed. And that travel gave me some time to play some games, actually. I played a couple on the flight. I played a few rounds of Slay the Spire, which is always a good way to waste half an hour. We'll spend half an hour rather. And on the flight, I was trying to plan what I would play, and I thought I might play 80 Days, the visual novel about travelling around Europe. But I tried it, and there was a lot of reading, and on a flight, I wanted something a little more mindless, with less concentration required. So I tried a couple of other games, and the one that I ended up playing for the whole flight almost was Sludge Life, which I talked about a little last week. It's a really fun 3D exploration and tagging game in a really fun, grimy environment with a cool soundtrack by Dose One, which we're listening to now. And that is the game that I'm going to talk about today. But before I do, I have a little bit of news. If you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen that I managed to get a PS5 here in the UK, finally. I was following PS5 Stock Update UK on Twitter, and I just happened to see that a bunch of PS5s had gone live on sale at Argos, the catalogue warehouse store. And I was able to grab one, get it in my cart, and I was kind of, my heart was in my mouth when I was checking out, because I've been there a few times before, and then had it yanked out at the last minute when the website crashed or whatever. But the tweet was only up for 30 seconds when I saw it, so I got very, very lucky. I bought a PS5 Ratchet and Clank bundle and went and picked it up. Everything went fine, and so I'm now the proud owner of a Sony PS5. So I've been giving that a test drive. I've played a few games that I wanted to see how they would look. I was dying to see how The Pathless would look on PS5 after playing it on PS4, and it looks absolutely wonderful, silky smooth. It was a good game on PS4, but it's really something to see it moving so silky smooth on a PS5. I also tried out a little bit of Red Dead 2. Looks fantastic. And yesterday, I tried a little bit of Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. And I don't play a lot of cartoony action games. It's not exactly my taste, although in the past I have. I was a big fan of Spyro back in the day, a big fan of Crash, and a big fan of the 3D Mario games. And Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is really fun. I played it for a couple of hours and found it very addictive, actually. It feels like a bit of a leap forward for the 3D platforming genre. It looks absolutely beautiful. The city environment that you find yourself in is remarkably detailed. When you first look up into the city sky and see all these flying cars crossing paths, and you can see the architecture going off into the distance with all of this kind of Tokyo skyline, Neo-Tokyo, Blade Runner-ish look to it. It's phenomenal, really. And then it slips straight into gameplay. As you would expect, it's a fun, fast-moving action platformer. You can wall run, you can glide, you can dash through the air. You have different ranged weapons, and you have a melee weapon too. There's a lot of environmental puzzles. There's a lot of trying to find your way from A to B. It's not been incredibly demanding so far, which suits me fine, actually. I'm playing it on normal difficulty, and I found my way through the first couple of levels, did some optional objectives, and I found it very addictive, very fun, very light. It's really like playing a Pixar movie. You might have heard other people say that. I have, but it's really true. It really does feel like you're right in a Pixar movie, controlling things. The dialogue is really funny and quippy. So I'm having a great time with Ratchet & Clank, and I'm really glad to have got a PS5. I'm looking forward to playing some other games like Ghost of Tsushima, Days Gone, and when it finally comes out, Horizon Forbidden West. Looking forward to getting it back home so I can test it out on my 4K TV and see how 4K looks. I haven't had a 4K device despite having that TV so far. So got a PS5, really happy about it. I put up a picture on Twitter of me holding the box, and it currently has 6,800 likes. So just by having a PS5, that picture went mildly viral, which is pretty funny. So you might be hearing me talk about some PS5 games in the future. That was the good news there. And before I talk about Sludge Life, I will also mention that this show is listener-supported on Patreon. We have a really nice community of listeners and friends on Discord, and for as little as $1, euro, pound a month, you can join that community, come and join the conversation, talk about games, post your own recommendations and screenshots, let me know what you're playing, talk about the podcast, talk about whatever you like. There's a really nice bunch of people there. I also post sale recommendations and occasional extra episodes for my patrons. I really appreciate the support, so thank you very much to all my existing patrons. And if you're interested in supporting this show, it's at patreon.com/gamingin the wild. And with that out of the way, let's move on and talk about the featured game of the episode, Sludge Life. So Sludge Life came out in 2020 via the Epic Games Store, where it was free for quite a while, and a lot of people that I've talked to have tried it out on their PC or Mac in that time. But in June 2021, it came out on Steam, and it came out on the Nintendo Switch, and I was lucky enough to be sent a code to review it, so thank you to the publicist for sending me that code. It's a game by Terry Velman. It's published by Devolver Digital, with music by Dose One, who is one of the founders of Anticon Records, a label that I've been a big fan of over the years. I remember listening to Why a lot, the band Why with a question mark. I love them. I love the lo-fi hip-hop sound that Anticon is famous for. And so the Dose One soundtrack is a real treat. And the game is $15 or euros, or £13.49 on Switch and Steam alike. I think it might be £1 cheaper on the Epic Games Store. And I normally read out the developer's description of the game and then reword it and describe it in my own way, but the developer's description in this game is perfect. It's the first time I've read one and gone, yep, there's no improving on that. So I'm just going to read it out to you to give you an idea of what the game is like. They say, Sludge Life is a first-person, vandalism-centric stroll through a polluted island full of cranky idiots and a vibe so thick you can taste it. Roam a tiny island stuck in a sludge-covered planet as upcoming Tagger Ghost, a breezy bandit set on staking their claim amongst the graffiti elite. Traverse the corporately branded landscape, link up with other taggers, steal junk and hearts along the way. Will you become the king of the island and tag every open inch, infiltrate sludge-pumping corporation Glug, or just take it all down in flames with you? And that's a great description. How would I change that? I haven't written one. I would say it's a fast-moving 3D exploration and tagging game with smoking and parkour and a good sense of humour. It's a surprisingly addictive game. I wasn't expecting to get addicted to it as much as I did, but I've had a few sessions on it now, and none of them have been under 2 hours. I just get sucked straight into it. And how long to beat actually has this game at 2.5 hours for a quick playthrough, or 4.5 hours for completionists. I think I've played it for 6 hours by now, and I have not found every tag spot yet or completed the game. I can see that there are still a few things for me to do, so I think I'll be playing this one a little bit longer. But you can play through it in 2.5 hours. It's quite a short, small game, but very, very fun, and there is more gameplay if you want it. It's been medium reviews for this game so far. On Metacritic, on PC, it has 73. On Switch, it has 75. So it's getting 7 or 8 out of 10. I think I might have given it a higher mark if I was reviewing it myself, but I seem to like this game a little more than some people I've spoken to. I've had a really good time with this one. So what is Sludge Life? You play as Ghost, who is an up-and-coming tagger. It's a first-person game. You wake up in a trailer, and you're straight into the game. You learn how to crouch under obstacles, jump over other obstacles. You learn how to use your camera lens to zoom in on faraway spots. As you zoom in on the buildings that dot the sludgy planet, you see these little purple icons of a spray can. Some of them are in really high, difficult-to-reach places. You have to find your way up there through a really fun parkour traversal that feels a little bit like Mirror's Edge, I would say. It's not quite as well developed, but it's in the same ballpark. Once you get used to it, you can kind of judge which ledges you'll be able to grab onto and hoist yourself up, and which tanks and which containers you'll be able to scale and which are just obstacles. You have to climb up some scaffolding to reach high spots. You have to find your way onto billboards, rooftops, the kind of awnings above doorways and things like that. And there are tag spots all over the place for you to find. And really finding your way there is the gameplay. It's like puzzle solving, trying to scale these buildings. And so you might find that there's a barrel that you can get onto that will let you leap onto a piece of scaffolding. You can climb up the scaffolding, get onto a drain pipe, climb up that, and then find your tagging spot. And they're all different. And it's kind of fun just working it out and trying different ways, trying and failing sometimes, landing back down in the sludge, and then trying again, trying to get up to that tag spot. And every time you tag somewhere, you get a few different tags. Ghost tags are kind of a green dripping ghost as his small tag that looks a little bit like Slimer from the Ghostbusters. But there are larger spots too. There are the small tagging spots, then there are two tag spots where you write the name Ghost in giant block letters, and there are four tag spots, like a billboard, for example, where you might draw over the billboard. There's one billboard that has an Uzi on it, and the giant tag that you put there is a ghost that's been shot, and it's kind of rippling against the side of the billboard. It's really cool, really funny. And so you get a little treat when you do the really big ones. You get like a proper mural. And as you're running around this environment, you talk to the people that live in this sludgy world. And it is a sludgy world. The ground is black gasoline sludge swamp. And it slows you down as you squelch through it. So you're really incentivized to stay off the ground, to stay up if you can, to jump between different structures, because you can move more rapidly when you're up in the air. And as you do, you talk to plant workers at Glug, who are all on strike, and they're really downtrodden and mad. And then you talk to the kind of the residents of this sludgy world that live in a tower block. You can also find a speakeasy. You can find a dealer who is selling a drug called Zoom that makes people get big black crosses on their eyeballs. You can find cigarettes and pick those up. You can find drinks machines and get drinks. You can get discs that give you apps on your computer. The pause screen is a laptop screen with a Sludge Life screensaver, and you get apps that will measure your progress in different ways, let you play music, let you do other things, let you control pieces of the environment. And so you're finding collectibles as you run around, talking to these kind of despondent people that live here, collecting discs, nicking stuff, tagging. It's really fun. It's a fun gameplay mechanic. It has a very light touch. It's humorous. It's nice looking. Sludge Life is a really fun game. And a big part of why I like this game is the aesthetic. I think it's a really nice audio-visual presentation. The town itself is bleak, like the sky is kind of pink and foggy with this kind of grey haze in the air. And as you look out from tall buildings, you see them vanish the further you get away from them because there's kind of smog in the air. And it's in a kind of a line-drawn, low-poly style, similar a little bit to something like Manifold Garden, but just taken in a very different direction. The characters are really funny. They're kind of cartoony characters doing funny things, and they all have something to say. I cracked a smile often when I talked to them. There is a certain kind of sardonic and cynical sense of humour to this game, and a kind of a broadly anti-capitalist attitude, like the workers are all mad. Nobody seems very happy with Glug. Everyone's got some downtrodden, kind of quippy things to say about this life in this sludgy place. It's a really fun, humorous world that you find your way through. And there is some life to this very small play area. As you kind of trudge over the sludge between buildings, you can see that there is like a sports complex, there is a corporate HQ, a couple of different industrial areas that you can go to. There is a burger bar, there is some docks where they're transporting stuff around, and some container parks. There are some buildings that are half finished, scaffolds that you can climb up. And so there are maybe, I think, about 10 different installations for you to explore. They're not massive, but they are quite dense, and they all have rooms that you can go into where you'll find like the lives of the people who live there. You'll find control rooms with smoking ashtrays and workers with their feet up, refusing to do anything because they're on strike. And it's quite a vivid world in that way. I think you only speak for a short while with any of the characters, but they all have something fun to say. And you'll meet your fellow taggers as well as you're exploring. They tend to be in more hard-to-reach places, like on the top of a tall building. You'll meet one of your fellow taggers, and they'll comment on you being Young Ghost, the up-and-coming tagger. And as your reputation grows, you get different dialogue. So you do feel like you're working towards something as well. The general gameplay is fun, but it does have an atmosphere that you're working your way up this food chain of sludge life taggers. And I really enjoyed some of the small touches, like the speakeasy where there is some sludge life music kind of banging on the stereo. The stereo is dotted around the landscape. There is no background music, but whenever you come to a place where there is a stereo playing, you'll hear the music just by proximity as you walk closer and further away from it. And so each one is playing a different track, so it feels like the music is kind of stitched into the game world in quite a cool way. Like there are people playing different tracks with different atmospheres in different places, whether they are like really heavy, loud, kind of lo-fi hip-hop beats, or whether they're more kind of melodic electronica compositions like this one here. You'll hear all of the different soundtrack as you move around the world. It's a really cool way to do it, I think. It's really nice that it's integrated in that excellent way. And there are some other nice touches too, like when you come to the basketball court, you can pick up a basketball, you can try and shoot it into the hoop, you can try and shoot it into the bin, you can throw it at the basketball coach who will then hit it away. He's not having any of that rubbish. So I had a really good time with this game. I think it's addictive. I think it's well put together. I've been playing it at the same time as I've been continually trying to get into Umurangi Generation and failing. And this game seems to address a lot of the bugbears that I have with Umurangi, which are janky jumping, difficult traversal, feels a bit slow and stodgy, and the gameplay feels a little slow. This is very different by comparison. It's very fluid. It's very fast. The traversal feels like parkour. You really feel like you can scale anything, and you kind of can. You can jump onto pipes and ladders and grates and just fly up the buildings. The basic movement speed is very fast, and I really appreciate that about this game. I also really like the kind of the holistic view of it. I like the setting being this kind of anti-capitalist kind of fermenting kind of powder keg of dissatisfaction. It seems kind of cool to me. And mixed with the tagging, mixed with the lo-fi hip-hop music, the fun dialogue and characters, and the drive to find all of the spots and tag them, it's a really nice gameplay proposition. There are a couple of downsides to it. I think it could do with a much better map. The map has a little, just a grid of fast travel dots that you can jump to. With no actual landmarks on it. You can't see where you are on the map. It's literally just some dots. And I think this game could do with a better map, although I do enjoy wandering from place to place, and you do learn it slowly as you're playing. But with 10 different installations and this kind of sludgy, smoggy kind of scenario where you can't see buildings that are in the distance, I found myself becoming disorientated and just wandering quite a lot. Sometimes I came back to the same spot again and again, and I wished there was a map so that I could navigate a little more crisply. On the downside of the traversal, it is possible to find that you'll be halfway up a structure walking along a narrow scaffold, and you will fall when you don't maybe think that you should have. It's very narrow, and with the very fast fluid movement, these narrow ledges can sometimes lead to a lot of falls. One tip that I have for the game is that you can turn off fall damage in options. I did so, and I found that I enjoyed the game much more afterwards. There's no point falling and dying and having to restart a section, losing gameplay or whatever. Just turn off the fall damage and run around and jump off stuff to your heart's content. Especially once you've got the hang glider, which helps you to jump off a tall radio tower, for example, and land on a billboard ledge. The traversal gets a lot better, so look out for that hang glider, turn off fall damage, and just go wild. So that's Sludge Life. I hope you enjoyed hearing about it. It's a short episode this week. Seeing as I'm back in the UK, I'm going to cut this one short. I really enjoyed that game. I really recommend it. I think it was fun to play on the Switch. It was nice in handheld. It ran smoothly. It did glitch occasionally, a little bit of dropped frames, but generally very slick. Generally a very slick experience and a really enjoyable game. I think it's well worth the price, even though it's so short. I think it's replayable. I certainly had a lot of fun with it. Really enjoyed the aesthetic, really enjoyed the quippy dialogue. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to continue playing Ratchet and Clank across the next week. I'm going to be playing some fun stuff on my PS5. I'm going to look at the PlayStation 5 Plus collection and see what's on offer for free. So I'll be back next week with a new episode. Feel free to find me on social media. Twitter is my main, at Gaming in the Wild. And you're also very welcome to join the Patreon at patreon.com/gaminginthewild. So thanks very much for listening. Take care of yourselves and each other. Bye-bye for now.